Good evening. Welcome back to the 10th day of Christmas. We're finishing out the final five of the 12 days of Christmas in the evenings by talking about five things that great Christians of the past would say that you and I, as Christians in the 21st century, need to know. 2 days ago, we talked about the first thing that we need to know, and that is that we are victims of educational malpractice because we went to government-run schools which were stripped of the Bible, and in particular, stripped of religion, morality, and knowledge. Religion being our relationship to God, morality being our relationship to our fellow man in terms of how God commands us to treat our fellow men, and knowledge being a knowledge of how the world works and how society should be regulated and operating in such a way that we see the benefits of liberty over tyranny. Then yesterday, we saw thing number two of the five things we need to know, and that being Samuel Adams' challenge to America. And Samuel Adams' challenge was that we should be extraordinary Americans, extraordinary Christians, and extraordinary human beings. Today we're looking at the third of those five things, and thing number three is the three huge mistakes America's founding fathers made and why we must avoid them. If we want to see the Christmas vision become a reality and the salvation that Jesus came to bring spread over the entire earth, then we have to avoid the three biggest mistakes that America's founding fathers made. What are those mistakes? They all three start with the letter R. The first mistake was the idea of rights. I don't believe the Bible says we have rights. I believe the Bible says we have duties. We have to ask the question, am I here to get what's mine, or am I here to give to others? Am I here to demand my rights, stand up for my rights, or am I here to obey my Heavenly Father and the duties He gives me? Am I entitled, or am I obligated? Am I owed, or do I owe? Rather than a focus of our own rights, our focus as a society, not just as individuals, but as a society, should be the commandments of God, our duties, our duty to God, our duty to others. It's not that we have a right to life, but we all have a duty not to kill each other, and that makes our life secure if we all admit that we are not God, and we don't have a right to decide for ourselves what constitutes good and evil, but we're to follow God's moral blueprints. When we speak about society being organized in terms of duty, moral duty, instead of our rights — rights has a nice secular ring to it, it's just rights — but duty means we have a duty to obey who? Well, to obey God, to obey His commandments, and all this is anathema to the modern secular society. So if you speak about God's commandments rather than the rights of man, you can be sure that someone's going to say you're trying to impose a theocracy on America. The word theocracy simply means God governs, God rules, and every single person who signed the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution believed that God governs in the affairs of men, and we have a moral obligation to obey His commandments. That's not un-American at all. The second huge mistake America's founding fathers made comes out of this idea of rights, and it culminates in revolution, armed revolution, violent revolution. I think it was Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson who said, "Rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God." Well, where does God say that? God does not say that. God says to obey the tyrants. God says to be subject to them. We should preach to tyrants until they are converted. Our goal is not to assassinate tyrants. Our goal is not to set bombs off in Parliament like Guy Fawkes. Moreover, our real enemy is not the tyrants. Our real enemy is the people who vote for them. The people who vote for tyrants because tyrants promise people something for nothing, an easy way, a work-free way, a dominion-free way to paradise. But that's the wrong way, and that's the real... they're both equally legitimate, but certainly we ought to think about the Christ-like way to move sheeple and their wolf tyrants toward the goal of Christmas, which is the vine and fig tree society, liberty under God, peace, civilization, the biblical concept of holistic salvation. The Bible says, honor the king. In that sense, tyranny and liberty are kind of abstractions. If we're to honor the king, it does mean to be subject to his laws and to obey his commands, unless he commands us to disobey God. But most of us don't know the tyrant. If we did know the tyrant, how would we honor the tyrant? The answer is we would witness to him. And I hope that our goal would be not to, again, repudiating the option of assassination. Our goal is to go the second mile with the tyrant and everybody that he sends. This is 1 Peter 2, those who are appointed or sent by him. We go the second mile. Our goal is to be the servant of the tyrant. Our goal is to be the person who helps the tyrant see that he needs to repent. And so it's a personal and caring attitude toward the tyrant, hoping we can say the right words that the Holy Spirit will use to bring the tyrant to repent of being a tyrant and to abandon tyranny and become a craftsman rather than one of the horns of power, as the prophet Zechariah makes clear. America, unfortunately, did not see their goal as being a servant of the tyrant and helping the tyrant become a Christian, helping the tyrant repent and be reconciled to God to have the sin of tyranny forgiven. And instead, they urged that we guard our Second Amendment rights, which is the right to kill, the right to get out a musket, the right to shoot people. If you repudiate your Second Amendment rights, which I recommend that you do, just as Christ repudiated his Second Amendment rights, so to speak, people are going to call you a pacifist. And you should say, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. The word pacifism comes from the Latin word for peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He came to bring peace. We've seen peace everywhere in these Christmas narratives for the 12 days of Christmas. The angels say the goal of Christmas is pacifism on earth. The third big mistake of America's founding fathers, they stood on their rights. They engaged in violent revolution. They overthrew the government. And then they replaced the government that they abolished. The Declaration of Independence says we have a duty to abolish any government that becomes a tyranny. There's truth there. We do have a duty to abolish false governments, governments which claim the powers and role and authority of Christ the King. Anybody who claims to be a king is usurping the kingship of the Christ, the Messiah. And we do need to abolish that tyranny, but we need to abolish it by persuading them in the Holy Spirit to repent of their tyranny. America's founding fathers didn't do that, and when they had abolished the government, they replaced it with another one. And it turns out in the long run that the one they created in its replacement was worse than the one they abolished. Now, we have to have some sympathy for the America's founding fathers because they lived, really, in some ways, in the old age. In the world before the Messiah came, before Jesus was born, empires of violence dominated the world. People believed that their emperor was a god, was divine, was a deity, or was at least a divine mediator between man and the gods, or whatever was ultimate in their society. And they believed that the powers that be, the demonic angelic forces that oversaw the emperor and guarded the empire, they believed those things were good and necessary. And America's founding fathers believed the same way. The new covenant promises that the city of God and the king, God's Christ, the Lord's Christ, will triumph over the city of man, wherein every man is his own god. Consolation and redemption triumph over violence and archists. Now the church fathers did not see that Jesus was the Christ, and that while we, in a sense, are to be priests and kings, there really is no place for any priests and kings in our world anymore. James Jordan calls the church fathers the church babies because they lived in the infancy of the church. They didn't realize that social order and prosperity and a flourishing human society were possible without archists, without the emperors. And America's founding fathers didn't see this either. They believed, yeah, we've got to have a government. But they tried in some ways to chain the government down with the chains of the Constitution, but their efforts ultimately failed. And all efforts will fail. All efforts at having a king or any kind of Messiah or government in that sense, which is a replacement for a well-governed people, people who obey their duties, their moral duties, they will always fail, because they are always based on the legitimacy of violence, that some group of people or one king has a moral right to be an archist and impose his will on the people by force. It is not legitimate for you to solve your problems by hiring a mafia hitman. It's not your right to solve your problems by voting for someone who promises to use the same techniques as organized crime, to steal from people, to break knees. So the third mistake in the R word you're looking for is representation, or regulation if you want, that there are people who have the right to regulate the people, because if the people aren't forced to be regular, held in place by an elite governors, then the people will be unregulated. There'll be chaos. We need to make sure that there isn't chaos, but the answer is not imposition of someone's order. The world will be a better place when all archists repent and put their trust in Christ, who has already shown himself very capable of producing peace and bringing civilization. When you speak about the superiority of the spontaneous order of the free market, as Nobel Prize-winning economist Friedrich Hayek spoke of, when you say that a society without archists is superior to a society with archists, a society based on socialism or fascism or some other violent monopoly, people will call you, they'll say, what are you, some kind of anarchist? And again, we've got to not worry about the words and labels, but to continue to press for the truth. And the truth is, while we are all to be priests and kings under Christ, it is Christ who is moving the world toward peace and civilization, and we do so, we help build the kingdom as servants, but never as archists. So those are the three big mistakes that America's founding fathers made by standing up for their rights, engaging in revolution against the state through violence and the use of force, and then by continuing to believe in the misguided theory of representation, that I have the right to vote for a representative to get me something for nothing, or to do things that would otherwise be immoral and unethical. Representative regulation is the great myth of our society today. And that'll just about wrap up the 10th day of Christmas. Tomorrow we'll come back and we'll look at the fourth thing of five things that great Christians in the past would say we need to know if they could travel through time and see how things have worked out in the 21st century. Tomorrow we'll look at the three most hated words in politics today and why you must adopt them. Until then, have a happy 12 days of Christmas. We'll see you tomorrow on the 11th day of Christmas.